Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Over a century ago, the first gauntlets were thrown down. Men fought for pride and glory. Blood was spilt. Reputations were carved from sweat. The battles have continued for decades. An eternal struggle with a thirst for victory always. And to think, this is all over a little ball shaped like an egg. Welcome back. You've never heard the footy like it. This is Triple M Footy.
Yes, hello and welcome. Saturday afternoon, and what an afternoon stroke evening it promises to be. Three great games of footy starting, of course, the Roosters and the Titans. Then we have the top four sides in the Premiership as it stands right now. South Sydney taking on the Warriors, and the Panthers and Dragons, the top of the table clash. Love saying that. Brett Finch is in for Wendell Sale today. Finchy, g'day.
G'day, Tone. G'day, boys.
Hey, Fincho.
Finchy.
Hoops and Gerds, obviously, hey, here boys. As well. How has your week been? I know for James Hooper, it's been a bit full on. How you going, Scoop?
Yeah, all good. Thanks, Tone. Yeah, it's been a busy week. Always plenty going on in the game, so.
When you have that week, I mean, obviously, they're breaking the story of the news that's been carried the news cycle across the week with Wayne Bennett and Craig Bellamy, the idea of him taking over at the Broncos, some discussions already. When you break that story, do you get any feedback directly? Did Supercoach Bennett give you a call?
I've spoken to Wayne, actually. Yeah. Look, he was okay about the story. Obviously, the story is accurate, so yeah. He didn't have any issues there. But one thing that he did really want to point out is that he does still want to coach beyond next season, which I found interesting. He turned 69 in January. So dinner for two there, and yeah, he's keen to keep going, Wayne.
he wants to keep coaching. I mean, what else could he? He obviously is eyeing a career in the media. I think he's just have his built for
he's just
it.
Just an open book, isn't he, Wayne?
Absolutely.
He's I got to say, I really enjoy when you get to talk to Wayne. Like the Wayne that you see in front of the cameras is not the Wayne that you see behind closed doors.
So were you surprised when he went back to Brisbane? I thought it would be on his terms when he left.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think when they made that grand final in the first year that he was back, they were riding the wave of success. And so that was when he signed the deal until the end of next year. And then I think, over the course of the last couple of years, they've thought, okay, well, we've got to start succession planning now. Now, Wayne's adamant that he was involved in those talks with the Broncos, that they actually spoke, he and the CEO, Paul Watt, spoke about the fact that they were going to go and bump Bellyache, and they were going to speak about Bellyache possibly coming to the Broncos in 2020. But Wayne, there was an asterisk on it, and that was, Paul Watt, can you keep me in the loop? Well, Wayne didn't know that there'd been meetings.
They're not in bad shape, the Broncos.
They're in good shape.
If they don't get bellyache, he's the next.
Wayne's the next best coach. Yeah, he is. I guess they've just got to make a decision, Finchie. Like, at the age of 69, if he wants to keep going and they think he is the best, then rock and roll, keep going. But at the same time, at some point, there's got to be life after Wayne. And they've never really, even when they did go away from Wayne Bennett for a couple of years, it never really worked, did it? You know, so then they ended up having to get him back. So I think they want a big personality like a bellyache who's established so that they can then build, you know, for the next 10 years.
Sorry, Hoops. I just want to go a couple of steps backwards there. When you said that Wayne Bennett wants to coach beyond this year, is this beyond the contract that ends next year? You're saying
Absolutely. He wants to.
When he stated the other day, and if it's not Brisbane, I'm open to, you know.
He said he's had a couple of approaches.
Some other clubs. Yeah. So, but the interesting thing about the Brisbane Broncos at the moment is they've got some really good young talent coming through. And, I mean, he's obviously been back at the helm and he's been able to nurture that talent through. Sure, they might lack some halves. Or not halves. I mean, Milford's probably not playing at the level that he needs to. And Nick Arima mightn't be the fix there at seven. And their game management, I mean, they should have put that game away after 20 minutes the other night.
Yeah.
But there's elements to their game that you just can't question. And that's it. That's their effort. Yeah, that's their ability to stay in the contest. I mean, there's different
parts. Well, that's
always
a Wayne Bennett coach,
too. Exactly right. So, you know, there's plenty of qualities that his teams are still showing that he's on top of his game.
And you can't forget, there's players in that team that went to the club to play under Wayne Bennett.
Spot on. Tevita Pangai Jr.
James Roberts.
Those sorts of guys. Yeah, look, that forward pack, Finchie,
yeah.
I reckon some of those young guns that are coming through, they're as good as any other forward pack in the competition. When you've got Offa Hengaui, Pangai Jr., Sua, all these types of blokes, like, it's a good team.
Yeah, they had 114 kilo average, that pack, on Thursday night.
Wow.
That's a
You're
big,
right,
that's,
they should have run away with that game.
They should have. Yeah. If he's got the right people around him,
same weight as my mouth guard.
if he's got the right people around him, and I think it becomes about that, doesn't it? You know, the tactical side of the game. If he's got good assistant coaches and that, there's no reason why he can't continue on if he's got the passion for it.
Absolutely. Look, I want to get into this in a bit more detail, and obviously with you here, Finchie, a little bit about Craig Bellamy and what it means in Melbourne if he wasn't to be there, what that means for the game as well. We've got plenty to get to. Across the afternoon. Looking forward to the next 3 hours to spend with you. Just, I've got a bit of a dilemma I hope you guys can solve. It is, as I said this evening, just some great footy. Apart from the Roosters and Titans, you'll hear it's Souths and the Warriors, then it's the Dragons and the Panthers. I've got dinner with my daughter tonight. Invited.
I thought you were going to say you're going to the Swans again, Tony.
No.
Is she a Dragons lady?
Not. Rosie's not really, bless her. She's not really sport orientated, to be honest.
Okay.
So much so that she doesn't have a television. Now, no television.
What do you mean she doesn't have a television?
Well, you know that box that things come out, not there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anywhere, in any room of the house.
Wow.
Very, very ugly. So I'm, as you know, I'm fairly interested in what happens in the Dragons Panthers game.
Yeah.
I've said yes to going to dinner. Mm-hmm. What?
Is there a chance you could pull out your phone while you're eating your lentils?
Lentils and quinoa.
Is that what do you mean?
Dal.
Get on the app. The NRL app.
Are you really going to miss that game, Tony? I mean, one place.
Tony, it's your side. Two. Red V is a part of you. You can't miss that game. Look, I went to.
Well, my daughter's also a part of me, and sometimes don't you have to sacrifice? Have you done?
But you can multitask, kids, Tony. You can multitask.
You've only got one dragon. There's only one dragon.
I know. You're right. I've got three other kids. I can invest in them.
Get your priorities straight.
You're absolutely right. It is a great evening of rugby league. Get involved. We're going to chat with Brad Arthur a little bit later on, talk about all the games we've seen so far. A look at the Tyre Power scoreboard. Was the Storm, the Cowboys, just that 1.76, 1 point also for the Raiders over the Sea Eagles at last. They went a close one.
The Panthers get out to a lead after 10 minutes, Tane. You usually turn it off anyway.
That's
so
true.
You'll have your full attention back on the dinner party.
That's exactly right. Thursday night footy. It was the Broncos. Wayne Bennett coached Broncos over the Eels, 18-10. So much to get to. We'll play Mastermind, Personal Mastermind with Brett Finch. All ahead, remember, it is hashtag talk.
Gee, how deep are you going to go?
Del's not here.
Mastermind. How deep are we going to go?
As deep as a cup.
Get your white jacket out, Tane. You could end up on the couch by the end of it.
Del isn't here, but still, it is hashtag talk up the Maroons, remember.
Yeah.
Hashtag talk up the Maroons. So get to that and plenty more. Saturday Triple M. As we look to the Friday night footy, the Tyre Power scoreboard, the Storm over the Cowboys, 7-6. That would mean, if I do the maths, I think the Cowboys probably have to win about 12 out of 12 play September football. So if they're gone, and we'll look at the game in detail in a second, I guess the story out of that is for Jonathan Thurston, having announced his retirement, it's a long back end to the year for a guy who's decided to go that extra year. He was hoping, obviously, for that glorious finish. Got to the grand final. He didn't get to play because of injury last year. Expectation that they would be there again. Now, it's a long, barren stretch ahead of him, isn't it?
It is. And when you look at the recruitment that they made over the course of the off-season with Jordan McLean joining the side and Matt Scott coming back and JT as well, a lot of people had them predicted to win the premiership, Tone. But look, it hasn't worked out. I guess it underlines that even for some champion players, you don't always get to dictate the way that you go out. And as much as I'm sure we all agree, you want to see Jonathan Thurston, and even the fact that the Cowboys aren't going to make the finals, that doesn't diminish or tarnish anything at
Absolutely.
All that Jonathan Thurston's achieved. But it's a timely reminder that you don't always get to pick the way that you go out.
It just doesn't look like he's fully recovered from that injury. I mean, I remember how he started the season last year. Compared to even how he holds his body this year. And I remember seeing him at the pre-season launch with Channel 9, and I went over to have a chat to him, and he physically just really looked like he was struggling. I thought, oh, there's a couple of weeks out from the season. And I guess we all expected at some point for his body to come good again.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look like It has, and unfortunately, yeah, you know, I mean, his effort and energy is always going to be there, but he just doesn't look like he can get himself around the field the same way as he, and I don't think it's such an age thing. I think it's an injury thing where these shoulders are just giving him all sorts, and he's so isolated, and he gets big guys coming at him, and we saw what happened with the Cassiano incident last night.
I think the thing, too, when you're a champion player, you always get judged against you at yourself at the best.
Yep.
You know, JT's still one of the best halfbacks in the competition.
Yeah,
he's just not probably playing as well as he was in his prime. And I look at the Cowboys last year, the Dogs scored a try with what, 2 minutes to go to knock the Dragons, out. They weren't in.
Yep, that's true.
And then they went on a run, and now they've missed the semi-finals again. Scott probably has what, 1 year to go.
Yep,
JT's gone.
It was actually, it's a good point, Finchie. It was actually a little bit of a false dawn.
Yeah,
there. Roller coaster train to the fairy tale, to the fairy tale grand final. It actually probably sugarcoated the fact that I think they dropped nearly five games towards the back end of the season, and were just plummeting further and further towards missing out on the eight. Then the Dogs beat the Dragons, so they qualify in eighth. Then they go on a run. Michael Morgan was in fantastic form, all those sorts of things. But it probably did camouflage a few of the underlying issues, and yeah, they've all come to the fore this year.
Yeah, well, JT, I guess one of the things, and you mentioned it, Gerds, that he won't miss is passing a ball or kicking a ball, having his back turned, and some big bloke just crashing straight into him. Sam Cassiano did it last night. Now, he was put on report. It was pretty nasty. I don't know if you heard in Channel 9's commentary, Andrew Johns, what he had to say. Have a listen to this.
It wasn't a big hit, James. It was a dog shot. It was a coward hit. Thurston passes the ball. His back's turned. There's this long wait, and he dives in and hits him in the lower back and the kidneys. That has to be knocked out of the game. Hitting blokes in the back after they've passed the ball should be a minimum 4 week suspension. That is dangerous. It's a dog shot, and they have to get it out of the game. There is no need for that. Get it out of the game now.
Joey Johns not
mincing. Do you reckon he wants it out of the game?
I think out of the game is where he wants it, Finchie. It doesn't mince his words. But it makes a great point. JT's put up, as other playmakers have, as Finchie in your day as well, have put up with that for generations.
It's one of Joey's pet hates. I've heard him say that time and time again over the years. And I've got to say, I agree with him.
Yep.
I think he's bang on. He's certainly more than well qualified to make that style of a comment. And hopefully, you know, people at the NRL, some of the power brokers might listen. He had some funny moments later on in the commentary too, Joey. As the evening wore on and the game had finished, and I think the only bloke who was still in the stadium, Channel 9's coverage was still going, that was the bloke with a leaf blower or something cleaning up the rubbish was still in there, and Joey said, come on, let me go, the mad cow's calling, immortal, the mad cow's calling.
He could still be up there.
I guess some of the things that JT will be looking forward to will be moments now for the rest of the season. Like last night, I did have that moment where potentially, and now I think in reality, his last time he would face up against Cam Smith. Cam Smith sadly did kind of run over the top of him for his try. Mm. But I guess that's what he looks for, is some of those moments. Just back on the Sam Cassiano, do you think 4 weeks? Has he been? Do we not know yet?
No, we haven't seen the charge sheet yet, but we'll keep an eye on it, Tone.
It should come through. Some time. I mean, the fact that, you know, you haven't looked at that footage, if you haven't seen it, have a look at it, because it's JT actually turns his whole body around to face his own try line to offload a ball, and then totally relaxes, and there's probably 2 seconds after that he gets the knock, you know. So, and, you know, that's not the mark of a forward. Forward's like, you know, going out there and competing against guys their own size, and if you can get a shot on a half, you're told to do it, but all in relation, like if a half wants to dig into the line, I think they're the bravest players in our game, the halves these days, because they get totally isolated in defence ever since Finchie retired. Yes. I mean, and then when they're running the football, the really good ones dig right into the line and then pass late. And, you know, when forwards, you know, who are 110 kilos run at the line, they put their bumper bars up, they protect themselves. But these halves, when they run at the line at these forwards, they need to relax to be able to throw the pass right at that moment. And they get hit, you know, and so they get hit enough, let alone having guys after they've passed it to wait 2 seconds to jam in the back. It's got to go. He's right.
All right, what about the game itself for Melbourne? It was an ugly first half, then elevated a bit into the second half of that game. For Melbourne, I guess more discipline shown. Cam Smith is from last week to this week very different. They weren't super impressive, but got the job done.
Yeah, look, Cameron Munster, we've spoken about it time and again, but geez, he's a superstar, this bloke. He'll be the next superstar of the game, in my view. When you needed somebody to stand up and kick the field goal, he does it. He was so relaxed, Finchie, when he actually slotted it. Like, Cam sort of passed it to him, and he's like, oh, hang on, what am I going to do? Am I going to run
the ankles as
okay,
well?
Okay, I'll drop it on the left foot.
He's a bit old school where he's confident in his own ability. He's got a bit of swagger about him and water off a duck's back with most things, you know, and he takes things pretty easy. He's a cool, calm, collected character, Munster, and he's doing a good job for the Storm.
What I liked about the part of his game was not just the fact that he got it. He didn't wait for Cameron to tell him when to do it and when to set it up. He's the kind of guy that just took it on himself and got himself in the right spot. And even though Smith was out on the field, he was going to jam it anyway. And then after that, though, the way that he managed the game, and he was running the ball to the sidelines, and his energy and his kick chase and all those little things that, you know.
Yeah, you're right, Gerds. That's the plus that he's just stepped up into that role. Slater being out, he's just seen it upon himself.
Those elements of the game.
Another level in my game, and you know, Bellyache hasn't had to give him the cattle prod up the backside. Yep. He's just done it himself, which is a great sign.
Which he will take into State of Origin, hashtag talk up the Maroons.
Yeah, he'll be fantastic. Well, he played one Origin on debut last year. The other thing for the Storm, though, is, I mean, I think they've got the second most amount of errors in the league. Like, there's some uncharacteristic things.
It's a different Melbourne team because they're playing so ill-disciplined. Every Melbourne team, as long as I can remember, especially under Craig Bellamy, they never beat themselves. You know, this year we've seen them just turn over that much footy and be ill-disciplined, which is an attitude thing. Yep. So it was a good improvement on the weekend.
It's funny, Finch, I was listening to Billy Slater last week, and they were talking about the fact that they're making all these errors. And he said, look, earlier in the year when the trend started, we really focused on it and we got it absolutely hammered into us at training. And it got worse. So he said, we actually just decided, right, bugger it. We're not talking about the errors. Let's just go out and play the footy that we know we want to play. And it improved for that period of time when they dropped young Brody Croft. And
they had that game against the Warriors.
They came out and got it together.
But
it's the last month, they've slipped back again.
It doesn't seem like it's a team thing. It seems like it's an individual thing from
my
perspective.
Everyone's like,
it's their outside backs, and they're doing it on early tackles. It's Vunivalu. It's not so much out of car.
Got a loose carry
and plays one, plays twos, that's when they're giving the football up, and they need to get it out of their game if they're going to compete, or they're just going to keep falling away.
You're right, Gerds. Every individual's like, oh, I've only dropped it once, but if 17 of the blokes drop it once, that's a lot of errors.
Yeah. Adrian 17. Has given us a call on 133353. G'day, Adrian.
Hey, boys, how are we?
Yeah, good. What are your thoughts?
Sorry?
What are your thoughts?
Now, just with what you're saying about Thurston and the Cowboys season being over, do you think you should make yourself available for Origin and just give it one last shot?
I'd be very surprised if game three, if they need some players, you might see Smith, Thurston and Cronk roll out in the maroon jersey up there for the decider. I mean, why? What a story. I mean, we've seen the Alan Langer come back in 2001. I mean,
and Cancer's been retired for a long time now, so he'd be itching to get back into rep footy.
I hope it's 2-0 by then and they can do whatever they like, but it wouldn't surprise me if there's injuries or there's form slumps or some guys haven't handled the step up in key positions at Origin. And that at least one of those guys doesn't come back and make an appearance in game three. Finchie, I'm off the mark.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I think Smithy's pretty happy. It'd be so hard to step back and then get your head around, you know, one last final Origin. I think it would be too hard.
Yeah. But as for Queensland,
they're just so passionate, those Queenslanders, aren't they?
We've seen some of the Blues champions have done it over the years as well. Joey Johns famously came back in that game too. Freddie, that's right, come out when Gus was a coach and had one last crack. So I wouldn't rule it out. And great accent as well, Adrian. Yeah, that's brilliant.
Thanks for your call, Adrian. 133353. If you want to contribute as well. I guess the other story, Matt Scott, he does look a little bit, that knee, he looked a bit ginger at times during that game, especially when he got a bit of a cannonball. Kafusi, he was also put on report hoops.
He was, so we're waiting for that charge sheet, Tone. But it's interesting. I heard Brent Reed on Triple M last night say that he thinks Matt Scott won't be picked for Queensland, that's a...
Who are they going to have in the front row, Napa and who?
Well, it'll be Dylan Napa. They've got young Jared Wallace from the Titans. And then
is it Adcock down there?
Arrow, the Titans. Yeah, I think he'll certainly... Well,
he's
especially,
not a front row, though, is he?
No, he's not. But if Kafusi ends up on report, is charged and could be suspended, I think Hess comes in the calculations to start on the right edge, and then that means somebody like an Arrow could come onto the bench. Mm. Seems a big call, doesn't it, to leave him out?
Would the Arrow go straight onto the bench?
Oh, thank you so much, man. First dad's joke of the day. That was very good. When it gets back inside the Wayne Bennett, Craig Bellamy story next on Saturday. Triple M NRL. the Roosters taking on the Titans at beautiful Central Coast Stadium. Then it is the Warriors and South Sydney, three plays four as I look at that ladder, thanks to EWFW Consulting Engineers. And then it's the top of the table, the Dragons and the Panthers at Penrith. Are you heading out to Penrith this evening?
I'll be putting the Velcro tracksuit on, Tone, and okay. sticking myself to the couch this afternoon. I'll listen to the boys on the way home, and then I'll be, that's going to be a super night of rugby league.
Best
I can't wait.
In the house.
Really good.
Cannot wait.
Too cold
that.
Out there at the moment.
Oh. Well, it's going to be a full house.
You can't get in anyway. It's sold out. Yeah. I think they
you are a club legend, so I think there might be a chance of
I was out there last week. It was unreal. I think there was 1,500 tickets left on Thursday. They'd probably be gone by now. So yeah. It's going to be
awesome. It's great.
It's going to be a good night.
All right. The story, as we mentioned at the top, story of the week has been Wayne Bennett in Brisbane. The discussions between the Broncos and Craig Bellamy currently with the Storm for him to take over. Wayne Bennett, of course, has a contract through to the end of 2019. The word that's been coming through from some quarters has been, and I want to get to Craig Bellamy in a second, but for Wayne Bennett has been respect. He been treated with the respect he deserves? Someone who, as of last week, had coached 800 games, many of them for the Brisbane Broncos. Does he deserve the tap on the shoulder, or should it be a frontal attack if he's going to be there to go?
Well, I don't think it's a tap on the shoulder, Tone, given that when we heard from Wayne, he said, no, I was aware of this. I spoke to the power brokers at the club about it. I gave my blessing for them to go and approach Craig Bellamy. The asterisk was he did ask to be kept in the loop. Now, he wasn't aware that they'd gone as far as the CEO and one of the board members flying down to Melbourne and actually physically sitting down with bellyache and, you know, talking about doing a deal. So has he been disrespected? I don't think he has if he's been involved in the process in that sense. But as we heard from Wayne as well on Wednesday, I think he would have liked to have known that where it was up to.
Because he's been involved in plenty of players have suffered the same fate. You know, the greats like Wally Lewis at that club has to be moved on. But I imagine that would always be Wally Lewis would have been told to his face, you know, this is going to happen.
Six premierships answers that. You know, players are going to get moved on. High-profile players are going to get moved on, but he's always delivered for the Broncos. Six comps, fair effort.
It is an absolutely fair effort.
And he's also, he knows it's a business. I mean, he's left the Broncos and he's also had some dealings with some other clubs that probably haven't been. I mean, the Broncos obviously owe a lot to Wayne Bennett. So from what I can gather and what I know about Paul White, he's a very upfront individual, and I think that'll all be done above board because he's a man with high qualities, and I think it'll happen the right way. But the concern is, I think, for the rugby league more so than just Melbourne, if Craig Bellamy's poached out of there and he leaves Melbourne Storm, where does that leave them as a club with Cameron Smith and Billy Slater on their sort of the back end of their careers as well? It's a concern for the NRL.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, initially all the talk was, and I mean, Finch, you know better than anybody because you spent quite a few years down there. All the talk was Adam O'Brien. Obviously, he's done a long apprenticeship under bellyache. He's highly regarded. And the succession plan, the view is the succession plan has always been to have Adam take over. But I think if bellyache does decide to leave, I just get the impression, I don't know whether with Cameron Smith coming towards the end of his career, Billy Slater most likely retiring at the end of this season, that all of a sudden becomes a hell of a hard task, a bit like following Bradman into bat. I don't know whether that'd be the best job for a rookie coach, or maybe they go for like a Michael Maguire who's been there and done it in terms of NRL experience.
Yeah, I think Adam's ready. I think Adam's been ready for a few years. I think if he stays under Bellamy the next couple of years, he'll still be ready then. The big thing is what bellyache does. He's just created an environment down there where people want to play footy. You know, now if you've got a losing culture in Melbourne, no one's going to want to go down there and play there because there's nothing outside of that. There's no third, you know, no sponsorship deals. No, you know, so to go away from home, especially when they're young kids, 16, 17, 18, from far north Queensland or from over from New Zealand, to go to a foreign town that doesn't have league, if you're not winning, it's going to be hard to attract players.
But they have, and you can tell me how much this is Craig Bellamy, the AFL clubs completely respect Melbourne Storm and how they operate. Is how integral is Craig Bellamy in that?
Yeah, in Melbourne Storm's history, I have him as number one, the most important person that's ever been involved with Melbourne Storm, and Smithy underneath that. Just his day-to-day work ethic, just the values of the man, you know, he's just so important off the field for players. You know, like, he's brought a lot of these players through from kids. Now they're grown men with kids themselves. So he's played such a big part off the field as well and in their development as men. And like you said, he's got such great respect in the AFL community as well. So that gives the Storm a foothold into that market.
So then it sounds like it's key that someone comes through the system and replaces him and doesn't change what's been built. And I think that can be the danger with getting someone that comes in. Say you went out and got a Desi Hasler that came in and wanted to make things Desi's way as opposed to, you know, the way things have been set up down there. So how important is it that someone comes through the system potentially to replace Craig and doesn't change too much of the fabric?
Yeah, I think it's the same thing with the players. You got your... If you don't tick the boxes to be a Storm player, it doesn't matter how good your skillful you are or flashy player, you just don't get a start down there. So Adam's been there for a long time. How old is he? He's 40.
Okay.
He's really, really good coach. He's very smart. He does all the attack for the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's been ready for a few years to be a first grade coach. And you know, I'd expect
Has he got that thing down where during the game in the coach's box, he stands up and walks out, then walks back in, sits down, stands up, walks out, walks back in, sits down.
Goes yells at the door at the back of the room.
Exactly. He's got to get that. Now, what's your gut feeling though, Finchie? Do you think he stays or goes?
I think he stays.
Do you?
Yeah. Because I just can't see him coaching anywhere else.
Okay. All right. What's your gut feeling, Hoops?
Oh, I'm genuinely bamboozled, Tone. I don't know which way he's going to go. The only reason that I think, well, he must be entertaining at Finch is because Melbourne have had a three-year offer that's worth a hell of a lot of money. It's worth about $1.7 million a year. Now, it's not about money. I know that with Bellyache. That's not what drives him, right? But that offer's been sitting on the table. Yeah, correct. That offer talks all languages. That offer's been sitting on the table for nearly four weeks. Now, he hasn't signed it. In that time, he's met with the Broncos and spoken to him. So, and he said that he wants to take another, you know, when we heard from him last Wednesday, he said that he was going to take, they've got the bye coming up next weekend. He wants to take that little bit of time just to think it all over. So, yeah, I don't think he's made his mind up yet.
The couple of times I spoke to Bellyache about sort of Melbourne and, you know, what he's done down there, what he's been able to achieve, one of the things I take from those conversations is the fact that he really enjoys the anonymous nature that he can go about his business.
I think you meant anonymous.
Anonymous nature that he can go about his business, and I think you'd really miss that. You know, you go up there to Brisbane, you're a one-team town, all the focus is on you, and it'd be a big change, a big step up, especially at that stage of his career, to take on a job like the Brisbane Broncos, whereas down there, you know, he comes up every couple of weeks and he does his thing, but he's really out of sight, out of mind, and I think he really values that aspect of it.
It certainly helps develop the type of culture he wants down there, being in Melbourne. All these young kids, no one knows who they are, so none of them are getting big heads, that's for sure.
Chris has given us a call. 133-53 is our number. G'day, Chris.
Thanks, Tony. Yeah, no, thanks. Craig Bellamy. Personally, I think that he's potentially going to be found out as a coach. I think his record is outstanding, but I honestly believe that Cameron Smith and what he gives that team is a lot more than what Craig Bellamy gives. I think last night was a perfect example, but I think if you look at his State of Origin record relative to, say, even a Laurie Daly, like, I mean, he had the same sort of team, and Daly, I thought, performed much better as a coach. And I think the one thing that continues to concern me is that the Cameron Smith factor. I think if New South Wales win this year, it'll be on the back of the fact that he's not there. His ability to manage a game relative to... Well, he's probably the best since Andrew Johns. And take that out of any team, be it Melbourne or Queensland, I think both teams will be lacking.
It's a big hole. Yeah,
and I think Craig
respect your view. I respect your view, Chris, but I've got to say, look, I couldn't possibly disagree more strongly. If you go back to 2012, and obviously Melbourne, you know, had issues. They got caught rorting the salary cap. They lost those. They had those titles taken away from them. But then the way that Craig Bellamy was able to rebuild that side, there wasn't that many star player superstars aside from Cameron Smith, Billy Slater, and Cooper Cronk involved in that team, and they were the best side that year. But also the way he's evolved there. Attack and their style of football over the last four or five seasons. To me, that's what really underlines what a good coach he is. And there's numerous players that go there that leave and they are infinitely better players than when they arrive. That's not a fluke. That's because he's a bloody good coach.
And you got to remember, Slater, no one wanted Slater. No one wanted Smith. No one wanted Cronk as kids. It's not like they were the superstars at 17, 18 and they just got picked for Melbourne.
Cronk wasn't a halfback. No. Like they didn't really have a spot.
And all
for
that
him.
Aside, I mean.
And Smithy was a halfback.
Yeah, that's right. He turned him into a hooker.
All the tactical stuff aside, because there's plenty of people out there that know the game, but to be able to build a club, and you spoke about the infrastructure that he's put in place with bringing the kids in, there's so many more moving parts to being a head coach. And the fact that he gets that effort and that performance on a weekly basis out of those people, not just about that tactically, how he goes about his business, but the culture, and everyone talks about culture, there's not a more cultured club in Australian sport than the Melbourne Storm.
Well, when they first got there, they were training out of a storage unit and they were playing it on a field that wasn't big enough, Olympic Park.
Yeah.
Now they've got facilities that are first class and playing a wonderful stadium. That's because of how successful they've been.
Now they're so cultured now. They go to the theatre every second week.
Do they, Tony?
No,
do you bump into them?
Absolutely. Can I just say to
Hoops, for clashes with the ballet.
Hoops beautifully. when you're speaking to Chris, I think I quote here, I respect your views, but I couldn't disagree with you more strongly. It's a beautiful way to handle it. I love it.
Chris made some very fair, valid points, but then, everybody sees things differently, Tony.
Keep them coming. 133353 is our number. We're going to look at the Friday night footy game, the Raiders and the Seagulls. Brett Finch, we're going to get his personal mastermind. That's all coming up on Saturday, Triple M NRL. 3 o'clock. It is the Roosters taking on the Titans. Let's go backwards though to Friday night footy, that Tyre Power scoreboard. The Raiders over the Sea Eagles 21-10 at the start of this season. The Ricky Stewart did say one thing they had to get better was winning close games. They lost quite a few by six or less last season. Started pretty much the same this year. They've got a one-point victory. What did you make of it, Gerds?
Well, it's Beanie round, but it should be Balaclava round, Tony, because they stole that one at the death, didn't they? They really did. They that was over with about 2.5 minutes to go, and I thought Manly going down there without Coruscant were up against it from the start, but they found a way to get some points early. And look, I know the headline's all about the Raiders today, but I thought they were pretty poor for probably about 60, 65 minutes of that game. They couldn't get to the end of their sets. They were kicking it dead. They were dropping the football. I mean, they were pretty sloppy, to be honest. But to their credit, they did stay in the game, and Manly had plenty of opportunities. They had about three or four sets there within the last 10 minutes where they could have tried to sort of set for a field goal, just decided to run it. Had one sort of loose attempt at field goal that wasn't really set up correctly, and then end up paying the price on the back of, some Kotrick and White and sort of magic down that left side, and then a nice kick on a late play by Caesar and a nice chase by Kotrick, and he forced an error in Tommy Turbo over the line, and they got an opportunity and they got the job done. So good on them. Yeah, they've lost a lot of games in the dying stages, but they got one back last night.
Nick Kotrick, he's a pretty impressive young kid, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he plays Origin. I think he's going to be a one winger for the New South Wales Blues. His work out of the backfield is sensational. His speed and power on the young fella. And just the way he chased that ball at the end. I thought they showed a bit more maturity there at the back end. They've thrown away some games. How they've lost them is beyond me. Where this game, you're right, Gerds, they shouldn't have won. But they somehow got themselves in the contest and come up with some really mature plays at the back end of the game. That kick from Caesar, he could have had a crack at the field goal. Decided to just kick it in the corner. Build some pressure, and they got a result out of it.
Yeah, they looked the Manly. I think Trent Barrett said afterward that they felt, it was one of those games in the dressing room. They felt they should have won it.
Yeah, well, look, for 78 minutes, they looked as though they were on target to cause an upset, didn't they?
Yeah.
They targeted the Raiders' right edge early and had a lot of success. Brian Kelly, geez, you must like his footwork, Gerds. I'll tell you what, he great number.
Well, it was like the rope-a-dope. He looked like he got sort of concussed early in the game and sort of spent a little bit of time on the sidelines. And Leilua gave him a little bit of a bath all game, was sort of throwing him over the sideline and everything. And then the last minute, he just gets it, puts the footwork on, comes good and scores the try that puts him in the lead and should have won him the game.
Yeah, so they showed some strong signs. The Eagles, they've showed a lot of fight over the course of the last fortnight.
Yeah.
Like, to go and do what they've done, considering all the adversity that they've had against them and the fact that, it must have felt like for that playing group for a while there that the walls were just closing in, because five losses in a row, and they were just on the back page and some days the front page, and they couldn't take a trick. So I was happy for them. And, look, I can understand why Trent Barrett would say that and why the players, I'm sure they would have felt like it was an opportunity lost.
Given that the teams for Origin 1 will be selected over the next couple of days, from the Manly point of view, anybody throwing their hand in the air, the Trbojevic brothers, obviously. Jake, he looks good. Looks like every time he gets the ball, he offers something, doesn't he? Tommy's been slow, but he's getting there now. Are they squeezing their way in?
I reckon the Turbo brothers, they're both special. So, yeah, Jake will be there for sure. I think they might actually, Jack DeBellin's been playing so well this year that I reckon he might force his way in to the starting side as a starting lock. And then I think they'll use Jake Trbojevic off the bench, because when Jake actually first came into the NRL, he came in as a front rower. So he plays in the middle. It doesn't matter what number he wears. But I think they'll more look to utilise Jake as a ball-playing middle forward from the interchange bench. I think Tommy gets in there as well.
Fullback or wing?
No, I reckon Tommy will be on the right wing. Okay. Yeah, I reckon it's a shootout between him and Kotrick for the right wing spot. The Fox, Josh Addo-Carr will be on the left wing. And I reckon Tommy might just have his nose in front. And then the other question mark is, because James Roberts got hurt the other night playing for Brisbane. Now, he's been cleared and apparently he's been carrying this Achilles slash ankle issue. But they've got to work out. I think Freddie probably wants to speak to James himself and see whether it would be sweet to train from the minute that he goes into camp, because I don't think they'll want to pick a player who can't come in and immediately be involved in all the sessions. So if he's not available, then obviously that opens the door for Ewan Aitken, or maybe they look at Tommy Trbojevic as a right centre and Nick Kotrick on the right wing.
So I think they start Jake Trbojevic just for the fact that if Cleary gets picked as halfback, he just takes a bit of pressure off with his ball playing abilities through the middle. Just such a young kid in Origin. To have a forward who can, you know, take a bit of pressure off and organise some plays himself through the middle. But I'd have DeBellin on the bench. So both will be there somewhere in the team.
Yeah.
It does sound like Freddie's picking that canny mix of youth and inexperience.
It's a recipe for success at Origin level.
But they're going in as favourites, Tony, of course.
Of course they are. Hashtag talk the Maroons up. In fact, you know what, a question without notice. At what time is it now? I'm going to say at about 2 o'clock, Finchy. I want you to name your Blues State of Origin side, if you wouldn't mind. Plenty to get to as we head towards the kickoff and the footy at 3 o'clock. There's a Saturday Triple M NRL. James Hooper has some information just coming through. What's going on, Hoops?
Yeah, great news, Tone. It's a sellout tonight out at Panthers. Top of the table clash. Gerds' old stomping ground. Look, back in 2003, I think they set the ground record back then. It's about 22,500 people, but with the health and safety regulations these days, they have to put the sold up sign once they get to about 20,000.
So they can't sit on the roof with your leg dangling over the edge anymore.
Unfortunately, not anymore. Okay. Yeah, so they'll get 20,000 there tonight, which is a massive result. And you cannot buy a ticket. Wow. The sold out sign's up.
It will be a great game of footy.
Too bad you're going to miss it.
Yes. Well, look, you know what?
Hey, Tone, you know what? I reckon just reach out to Rosie and just say, listen, Dragons are out and the Panthers are playing. Gerds has invited me out to Penrith, and then we'll go the game, all right. Up, reactor
just
one.
Take it to the pub.
And away we go.
Take her to the pub.
And just have a TV behind her.
Why don't you guys ever think laterally?
First date material, Tony. Haven't you done that? The first date?
I just put the Origin field goal up behind her and just threw it off the door.
That doesn't work. Nothing will. Absolutely. It should be a great game of footy. The Dragons, I think, running out in round 12 once again. 1-16. Yeah. Same team they've had all year. The number 17 has changed a few times, but they have the same starting side for every game this year so far. And as I said, I guess Freddie Fittler will be watching that one very, very closely. All right, it's time now for this.
On Triple M NRL, the best of the best.
Yeah, thanks to Mongrel Boots, built for pure comfort. That's what a Mongrel Boot is, the best of the best. And this has just come to me because we have been talking about Craig Bellamy. We've been talking about Wayne Bennett. Why don't we just go down the path, best of the best coaches that you two, Brett Finch, Ryan Girdler, have played for. And maybe for you, Hoops, the best coached to interview. That might be the way we'll go with this best of the best. We'll start with you, Finchie.
Oh, bellyache easy.
Yeah.
By a country mile.
And there has been a few coaches that you have
run. I had all 16 in our coaches. And half a dozen of the reserve grade coaches.
England.
Any reserve grade
coach? I think I was a year off getting Jack Gibson too.
Any reserve grade coach that kind of jumped out? You thought, yeah, you know what, you've got a future.
Yeah, he said, stay with me, boy. should have stayed there.
I love it. So Craig Bellamy was the man.
Yeah, he was fantastic, mate. He was. I had periods where Ricky Stewart was great. Then we had periods where it was an absolute nightmare when we weren't playing so good. I got him really good with Michael Hagan, but Bellyache was the best by far.
All right. Hoops, what about you in terms of coach you've dealt with?
Yeah, well, look, there's plenty of characters, Tane. I've got to say, I always really enjoyed interviewing Freddie Fittler just because he'd always think a little bit outside the box. So I remember when he was doing it tough at the Roosters, so that year that all the talk was, you know, that they were going to tap him on the shoulder and he was going to have to finish his time at the club. And I think people forget that, you know, 12 months earlier, he'd had the Roosters in the finals and they'd led the competition halfway through that season and they're playing a great style. And, you know, Freddie can coach. He's a damn good coach. And so I went out to interview him this one. And I said, oh, mate, how are you feeling? Like, geez, all the noise about you is you're going to get the tap on the shoulder. He goes, yeah, I know. Yeah, I'd probably take the $1.04. I think the betting agencies had him $1.04 to get the sack. He said, I'd probably take the $1.04. I thought, oh, gee, that's a funny headline. So I got back to the office and I've told the boss, and he had it all set up on the page and everything. Then Freddie's rang up. He goes, hey, mate, I better trim that one back, actually.
Hey, shorten again. $1.02.
It looks a bit disrespectful. So we ended up changing the headline. But Freddie, one of the great characters of the game, and always good fun to have a chat to.
Ryan Girdley, you've had a few coaches.
Yeah.
Representing football as well.
But I'd have to go with Johnny Lang. I really enjoyed my time under Langy. He was he loved a story, Johnny. But he was just really good at getting the best out of the individuals. And, tactically probably wasn't as astute as some of the other coaches that I'd played underneath. But just in relation to, he was the kind of guy that, in the early 2000s, there was coaches out there that it was still a lot about, the toughness, and everyone needs to train together, and there was that mentality. And he was the first coach I kind of played under that was happy for people to do what they needed to do to get right. Therefore, if you're a forward and you need to work on certain parts of your game, or if you're a back and you didn't need to do as much, sort of anaerobic stuff, he was happy for you, and he put the trust in you to go and get yourself right for the game. And I just really liked that element. I was at a stage in my career where I benefited from that, obviously, but he thought a little bit differently, and he was a really good man manager, and I really enjoyed my time under him.
He's a great player, great hooker.
Good fella, really good fella.
Eastern Brisbane, and then of course
still involved in the game. I think he's on the rules committee.
He could have taught his son Martin to how to sidestep or run at the gaps rather than straight at other players.
Then big money board.
Yeah. He was huge. Plenty to come. We've got an odds update from you, Bets, Jared Daffy. That's coming out, plus personal mastermind from Brett Finch. All ahead, Saturday Triple M NRL. This next segment, we're going to find how well Brett Finch knows his own glory days as we play a bit of personal mastermind. Finchy, are you ready?
Yes.
Question number one. Can you name all the rugby league sides you played for?
Canberra, Para, Melbourne, Roosters, Wigan.
Correct. Question number two. You won Rookie of the Year with the Raiders in 1999. How many games did you play that season?
Seven.
Correct.
Really?
How did that happen?
Well, that's okay. Oh, for the Raiders, yeah.
After the Raiders.
Just for the Raiders.
Well done. Question number three. How many tries did you score in your NRL club career? He ponders.
70? 62?
Between there, 66 you scored. How many first grade games did you play?
270 NRL games and 60... Super League games?
Yes, combined 337 games.
I got tackled in three of them.
Question number five. What hotel did you stay at after your match-winning field goal in State of Origin Game 1 in 2006?
Crown Plaza. It could still be to me ham, cheese, tomato sandwich on the ceiling of the room.
Congratulations, you have played and won Personal Mastermind, Saturday Triple M NRL.